as yours are.
I'll call the February 23rd, 2010, meeting of the Sussex County Council to order. First item is our approval of agenda. Mr. Baker, have you any changes?
Yes, I would suggest that we delete item number four under myself, airport lease. We're not quite ready at this point in time on that item. And then under Julie Cooper, project engineer, the Woodlands and Millsboro contract amendment, we'd like to delete that item also.
Is there any other items from council? Not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of the minutes in your packet for the February 9th minutes. Is there any comments or changes? If not, I'll consider the minutes approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, I have two pieces of correspondence. The first is from the Poly Branch Extended Civic Association. On behalf of Poly Branch Civic Association, I would like to thank you for your generous gift of $1,000. Your commitment to helping our after-school program in our community is sincerely appreciated. And then it goes on to explain the program. It is signed by Mary Alice Johnson. And then there is a letter from the town of South Bethany. Dear Sussex County Council, the mayor and council of the town of South Bethany would like to express our sincere appreciation for the additional $5,000 funding for the municipal police agencies that Sussex County Council recently voted to send to the towns that maintain police departments. And that is it.
Does council have any correspondence they'd like to read?
I have correspondence. I'm not sure if it's appropriate or not, Mr. President. You might want to maybe get a ruling on this.
What have you got?
It's from Edward Mucha, and it's about the historic vote today on Arbors of Cottagedale.
Mr. Moore.
If it's specifically about the vote and he's bringing in more testimony, more information, the record has been closed on that, and we should not hear that.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. Any other correspondence from council? If not, we'll continue with Mr. Baker, our county administrator.
Thank you. The first item I have is a special recognition for Deborah Street, who is here today. And Debbie is retiring on February 26th, and she is the Assistant Director of Data Processing. She has worked for the county for 37 years. She started on February 20th, 1973, as a clerk two in the tax department. In 1980, she began working as a programmer one in data processing department. And 87, she was promoted to programmer two. And in 1989, she was promoted to assistant director of data processing, where she has done an outstanding job and has worked with Bonnie and many others in the county, programming and handling requests for various organizations for information. We sincerely wish to thank Debbie for her years of outstanding service to the county, and wish her and her family the best of luck in the future. And we have a tribute and a plaque also for Debbie.
Well, she gets two things.
Yeah.
I'm on down. I get the honor. See, what do I know what to give you first? Let's read this. Let's read this and see what this says.
All right.
It's a tribute. And be it hereby known to all the Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Council commends Deborah A. Street for devotion, loyalty, excellence in serving Sussex County from February 1973 to February 2010. It's a long time. 37 years. The Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Deborah A. Street on the 23rd day of February 2010 with wishes of happiness, good health, joy today and always. And it's signed Vance Phillips, President. There you are. Is there something?
Thank you very much.
Now let's see what this plaque says. This is pretty nice. You might have to take something down off the wall and put this up.
Definitely.
It's a recognition award from Sussex County Council. It's presented to Deborah A. Street again for her dedicated service in data processing in the dates of February 20th, 1973 to February 28th. 2010, get a big smile. Way to go.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. don't you stay right there and tell us a little bit about it? I mean, of all the divisions in this county, you have to admit that data processing probably has evolved more than anything with the advent of the personal computers and all the programming and all the requirements that your department demands. Can you tell us a little bit about your tenure?
It's been interesting and putting all of our different departments online so that people have access to them. You know, a lot of people don't know it, but a lot of our programs are written in-house by myself and Bonnie Smith and Lana Bowden, and trying to keep up to date and handle problems as they come about has been very interesting. Of course, my last few years, I've been working a lot with the public and especially small businesses in the county, and I've enjoyed that very much. It's been very rewarding.
Well, you've done a wonderful job. I know Mr. Baker really depends on you and your department.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
Gentlemen,
we
better not let her go.
You better rescind this.
Go take the flag back, George.
Can we go back? Rewind.
We're lucky that she wasn't snatched up by the industry, because if she's a programmer, she's got a lot of talent. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Thank
very
you.
Much,
Kevin. The next item is board appointment, and we have a recommendation for the Assessment Review Board, which meets beginning March 1st, and they hear appeals of property tax assessments. And Mr. Richard Whaley, his term is expiring, and so we do have a recommendation to appoint Mr. Richard Whaley.
He is my appointment, and he's done a great job. He's one of the ones that's been around long enough to, you know all the ins and outs. And if somebody could make that motion, I'd appreciate it.
I'll make one.
I'll second it.
Motion and a second to reappoint Mr. Richard Whaley to the Board of Assessment Review Committee. Any discussions? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next item is some good news regarding our pension fund. The Sussex County Council received a $392,270 in funds from an old mortgage bond that was issued in the early 1980s to help first-time home buyers purchase a home when interest rates were particularly high. As part of that bond issue agreement, the county was to be paid any excess funds resulting from the bond issue that could be attributable from net interest earnings over the past 25 years or that exceeded the amount of interest due on the bonds. At this time, all the mortgages associated with that bond issue have been repaid, and the Wilmington Trust Company, has deposited in our pension fund as part of the bond requirements this amount to help with our pension cost in the future. The pension fund itself was the holder of the bond, representing the amounts we have just received. These monies and some smaller amounts received over time have been deposited into the pension fund. There may be a few much smaller amounts deposited in the future, but this will certainly help our pension fund, which, you know, of course, took a hit with the stock market crash a year ago. So we wanted to let you know that had happened.
That's good news. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then the county administrator's report. The first item is dog licensing update. To date, the county has collected $19,905 in dog license fees. Dog licenses need to be obtained by March 1st. Attached is an application form for the licenses. The property tax amnesty program report. Attached is a notice for delinquent property taxes. As noted, delinquent property taxpayers are eligible for a 50% reduction in penalty charges if they pay by the deadline, as noted, from February 25th to March 8th, 2010. To date, $192,000 has been paid to the county for delinquent school and county property taxes as a result of this program. This represents 520 accounts. Next is the Sewer and Water Amnesty Program. The Utility Billing Division has collected $296,000 in delinquent county sewer and water district billings as part of the amnesty program that allows a 50% reduction in interest and penalty charges. Payments for the Dewey Beach, Bethany Beach, South Bethany, Fenwick Island, Blades, Henlopen Acres, Dagsboro, Frankfurt, Cedar Neck, Ocean View, Holtz Landing, Ellendale, Bayview Estates, Miller Creek, Millville, and Sea Country Estates sewer districts are due by March 1st, as per the attached inserts. Next is Assessment Review Board meetings. The Sussex County Assessment Review Board meeting will meet beginning March 1st through March 19th, 2010. The Assessment Review Board hears requests for appeals of Sussex County property tax assessments. The board will meet starting at 9 a.m. each morning for 15 business days. Please contact the Assessment Division, 855-7824, for any questions or concerns to be addressed. And then substantial completion. The Engineering Department granted substantial completion to Bay Crossing Phase 4 on February 19th. Developer is Blenheim Lands, LLC. It's located on Route 1 in the West Rehoboth expansion of Dewey Beach Sewer District, consisting of 61 single-family lots. County Council schedule. The next regularly scheduled meeting of the Sussex County Council will be on March 16, 2010 at 10 a.m. The County Council will take a winter holiday break as scheduled on March 2nd, and some members of the Council will be attending the National Association of Counties annual legislative conference in Washington on March 9th. County offices will remain open for regular hours, of course, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from Mr. Baker?
Well, just congratulations on excellent financial management. I do have a question about the dog licenses. Are we charging a lot more than the state had charged?
The state had charged $3 uh-huh. and I think it was $6
mm-hmm.
For many years,
yeah.
And since back in the 60s,
right.
as I recall.
It is more.
Yeah. Our charge is $10 or
uh-huh.
$15.
Yeah. I'm being told that.
Okay. Yeah, it is more.
Yeah.
But it is,
okay.
In comparing it to what other, especially what's being done in other states, it's considerably less.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and as you can see, we've collected roughly $20,000
right.
to date, but our costs are over $600,000
yeah,
a year.
We got a long way to go.
Well, it seems like when responsibility comes from the state to the county, it becomes more expensive. But you know what I'm saying? When it's given that down to the counties to take care of this now, it seems like $600,000 is a lot of money for us to run this. Absolutely.
Right, and that was in line with what the state was paying when they contracted out the service
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm.
However, their thoughts were that the counties would be better able to collect dog licenses fees than the state. And
better able?
One,
uh-huh.
Well, yeah.
Well, we're doing it. But if, say, within, say, in 6 months' time, if we find that we're doing well on this and keep our head above water financially, is it possible we could get rid of that convenience, $4 convenience fee? On the online application process? I mean, could we look at that at some point?
Yeah, the problem is that the company that is used, and I think, as far as I know, any company that handles credit cards would charge us a similar fee.
Mm-hmm.
We have, that is a fee that goes right to the company that official payments that handles the credit
mm-hmm.
cards. And when we looked at it a few years ago, there really weren't any other options except
okay.
that the county absorbed that cost. And, you know, of course, businesses typically may do that, but when we looked at it, like for collection of property taxes, which is what that's particularly used for,
mm-hmm.
or sewer and water bills, we didn't feel like we could afford to absorb it, especially the percentage charge, the roughly 1.5% or 2% that they charge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I understand
when,
the reason for it. I'm just hearing back from people, you know.
Concerned about that, right?
Yeah, so.
Is there any way, I understand we wouldn't want to do the percentage charge when we're talking about the millions and millions of dollars on property taxes, but could we look at making a credit card via a percentage fee available for just the dog licenses. That way, you know, 1.5% or 2% on a $10 license would be very minimal as compared to the $4, which would represent, I guess, 40%.
Right.
I don't know if we can do.
Well, why don't we? We'll take another look at it. We can contact the companies that offer this service and see if there's some other options out there for us now, because it has been a couple of years, I think, since we've really looked at it and take another look at it. Yep.
Are there any other questions for our administrator, Mr. Cole?
Clarify this in case people call up and ask me about this one. The said dog licenses have to be obtained by March 1st. What you mean? Nobody can go in on
that
first
that
and get
is
a
actually,
dog license?
No, we will
issue them
continue to issue the dog licenses. Yes, year round. The due date is technically March 1st.
Okay, but the way it sounds like that, you know, they have to be obtained by then. It kind of almost implies that you can't get them after that. But
right, we will be issuing them year round.
Mm-hmm. Okay, they won't be prorated or anything. Whatever it is, a year, even if it's December or I mean just before the deadline, you still pay.
Yes.
That's fine. Just as long as you can get them year round. I one time went out here to SPCA and it was. Towards the end of the year or something like that, and they wouldn't issue you one. I said, no, we can't issue them till such and such. I said, what? Then I said, what happens if somebody grabs my dog? You know. Anyway, you can get them year-round.
Yes.
From Sussex County. Good.
And congratulations. The applications are in all the libraries, and so that's a great thing. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
Regarding the tax amnesty program, there's been some suggestion as we entered into this that following the amnesty period, we would be again ratcheting up our collection attempts. One suggestion was placing the top 10 or 20 delinquent accounts online. Mr. Moore, are there any legal considerations in us doing that?
You trying to shame them into paying?
I've not looked into it specifically, but I do know other jurisdictions have done it.
To put it in the papers.
Yes.
Newspaper.
Yeah, State of Delaware Post all that stuff.
Well, I think it would be appropriate, if there's no objection from council, for the administration to start thinking about the next phase of collections. Sorry. Anything else from council? If not, Mr. Hal Godwin, please.
Republicans are hungry for taxes.
Fairness.
Mr. President, members of council, I'll try to be very brief and wrap up my fleet report from last week. I know that time is of the essence. One of the issues that I wanted to review with you in some more detail, just a little bit, is the fuel man system that we're proposing to expand. We've currently proven this system works by using it to refuel all of our paramedic vehicles. And our paramedic managers tell me that it works very efficiently, gives them the control that they want, the flexibility that they need in the field, and it also gives our accounting department an accurate system to quantify all the charges. What we'd like to recommend is simply expanding that program countywide to use it to refuel all of our motor vehicles that are on the road. I'm certain that it will improve our efficiency, it'll reduce the cost, and it will lock down controls so that we know that each motor vehicle that's being refueled is being refueled with the right fuel at the right location, and that we're paying no more than we have to for that merchandise.
Any questions for Mr. Godman on this proposal? Mm-hmm. Do you have a motion?
I do.
So this is the only thing we're doing is just the
The only thing I'm addressing today and asking you to support is an expansion of the fuel man system.
And not purchasing the equipment you talked about in the last week.
I'm not including that in my motion.
Okay.
The motion is, be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the expansion of the fuel man refueling system from a portion of county vehicles to the entire county fleet of motor vehicles.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the fuel man system for our entire fleet as read by Mr. Godwin. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes, and I'm glad that Mr. Howe here has that kind of background and that knowledge. I think he did a good job.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Howe.
Acknowledge that Mr. Stickles walking into the room. Cass County Administration. Okay. I'd like to acknowledge.
Mr. Cole would like to acknowledge past county administrator Bob Stickle has entered the room.
And in the past, past.
Passed way in the past.
Oh, and we got Mr. Conaway back.
And the ancient,
yes,
Joe
the ancient,
Conaway.
Ancient Joe Conaway.
Mr. Lawrence Lang.
Good morning. We have three items of old business this morning. The first application is change of zone number 1687.
Oh, I want to acknowledge it. Yes.
The application of Rick Banning to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, land lying northeast of Plantation Road, also referred to as Road 275, 710 feet southeast of Shady Road, also referred to as Road 276, and to be located on 18.33 acres, more or less. If you will go to page 9 and 10 of the Commission's report, the Planning and Zoning Commission, for the record, held public hearing on this application on August 27th of 2009, and on November 12th of 2009, discussed the application under old business. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson stating that he would move that the Commission recommend approval of change of zone 1687 for Rick Banning for a change of zone from AR1 agriculture residential to MR medium density residential based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the land is in the environmentally sensitive developing district according to the county's comprehensive land use plan. MR zoning is appropriate in this area according to the plan. Two, the MR zoning is appropriate for the site since it is in the immediate vicinity of other MR zone lands and will be consistent with the zoning and uses on neighboring properties, which include commercial sites, townhouse-style homes, multifamily dwellings, and single-family homes. Three, the property is within a Sussex County sanitary sewer district and will receive sewer service from Sussex County. Four, the property has central water available to it through Tidewater Utilities Incorporated. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0.
With how many units per acre, Mr. Lang? Or did they talk about that?
This is rezoning for
that's
purpose
the rezoning.
Of MR.
Okay, that's
only,
yeah, that's
only permits 4 units to the acre.
Okay, there you go.
With sewer available.
Any questions for Mr. Lang?
Yeah, the question would be that the previous application on that site was refresh us real quick, just a synopsis of what was the previous approval that was there. Was townhouses or was it?
The previous approval for that site was a conditional use in an AR district for multifamily dwellings, and I believe
80.
It was 80.
80.
Yeah.
Which would have computed to what density per acre? About 4?
At that acreage, yeah, approximately. A little
four,
bit over 4.
Yeah, right.
It would have been 4.356.
Whatever, right. Just okay.
To come out to the maximum.
Good enough. That's my only question.
Okay. So we're going to vote on these separately?
Yes,
or?
Yes.
They
to.
Need to be voted separately.
So this is for the rezoning then?
Rezoning only.
Make it right. MR zone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And instead of the AR1.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the MR zoning would only permit 4, is what you're saying, 4 units per acre.
Single family.
It could be 4.356, basically, but
right.
It ended up at 4.
But if apartments would be the same number of units?
If it only gets AR approval, it's only single family residential use.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it would be have to be split up in lots, and then you wouldn't have the, or it could be a cluster, I guess. But it would have to be single family only unless you get a conditional use.
Okay, so at this point we're looking at housing.
Just single family homes.
Single family.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just single family homes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Lang before we ask Mr. Moore to read the title? Please, Mr. Moore.
Okay, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 18.33 acres more or less. And Mr. President, prior to the vote, if I could remind council to please give your reasons when you vote, and if you indicate that it's based upon the findings of planning and zoning, if you will indicate if you're adopting their findings.
Okay.
Thank you.
Could I get that motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve change of zone 1687, the application of Rick Banning. We'll take the vote. Ms. Diva?
It's zoned AR1. And I think that's reasonable. This land is may not be entirely usable. We've heard testimony from Dan Parsons, our historic preservation officer, saying that the Norwood, Corsi Davis Norwood Jackson Cemetery limits are unknown at this time. We've had a lot of opposition from groups of people, not just people, groups of people, the Nanticoke Indian Association, the Israel United Methodist Church, and three whole entire communities surrounding this property. And I think with that kind of testimony that's been presented, and the testimony that was presented about the methane that's going to come out of this property, and the dangers and the responsibility that we as a county have to our citizens for their health and their safety, and the fact that this is our first, well, it's going to be our first moderately priced housing ordinance in the future, but we're voting right now on the rezoning. But I think to approve this, I think we would be letting the people down, very much so. I would vote for AR1, but I would turn this down.
Very good. Mr. Wilson?
I'm going to vote yes. For one reason, we're going to get a chance to get this place cleaned up, and I'm going to vote according to what planning and zoning
recommended. Cleaned up under AR1.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes to go to MR residential zoning because MR zoning permits four-unit density of residential single-family home development, and which is compatible to surrounding other residential type developments. And I'll vote yes.
Mr. Benson?
Based on recommendations of planning and zoning and with their requirements, I vote yes.
My vote is yes as well, with findings by planning and zoning. Motion carried. Mr. Link?
Yes, the second application is conditional use number 1845. It's the application of Rick Banning to consider the conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 18.33 acres more or less, lying northeast of Plantation Road, also referred to as Route 275, 710 feet southeast of Shady Road, also referred to as Route 276. If you would refer to my report or the commission's report on the middle of page 10. Again, this application was deferred after public hearing on August 27th of 2009. On November 12th of 2009, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that it appears that the commission agrees that there is a need to preserve and protect the grave sites, to protect the cemetery at the Israel United Methodist Church, that there is a need to clean up the brownfield, the Jackson Pit. There is a need to provide affordable housing in the area, and that it did not see or hear a density that would make the project happen. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1845 for Rick Banning for multifamily rental apartments, based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is in an area where commercial uses and other residential development has occurred, including townhouse, multifamily, and single-family developments. The project is consistent with those developments and will provide a transition between the C1 and commercial uses along Route 1 in the Plantation Road area. Nearby subdivisions have a density of 4 units per acre or less. 2, the project will be served or benefited by amenities that are on site. These amenities include a swimming pool, clubhouse, and tot lot. 3, the project is in a development area, or district, excuse me, according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. 4, the applicant has applied for and received permission to participate in the Sussex County Affordably Priced Rental Unit Program. 5, the project site has been previously used as a bar pit for sand and gravel. It was known as the Jackson Pit. The pit was later used as an unpermitted landfill for domestic trash. The removal and disposal of solid waste from the Jackson Pit site has received brownfield certification and been qualified by DENREC for grant funding, although there is no guaranteed funding available. Cleaning up the Jackson Pit will benefit the environment and provide for the health and safety of the inhabitants of the project and the surrounding area. 6, with the stipulations placed upon this approval, there will be no adverse impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. 7, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 96 units. This number is based on the MR density of 4.356 units per acre, or 80 units, with a density bonus of 20% being 16 units in accordance with the Affordably Priced Rental Unit Program. B, the removal, disposal, and monitoring of waste from the Jackson Pit located on the project site shall be in compliance with all DENREC requirements. C, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. D, the swimming pool and other amenities shall be constructed and open to use by the residents within 1 year of issuance of the first building permit for the project. E, the project shall be served by Central Sewer as part of the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. F, the project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. G, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these features. Or fixtures, excuse me. H, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Sidewalks shall be installed along both sides of all streets. I, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape plan. J, construction, site work, grading, and delivery of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. K, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. L, the applicant shall cooperate with the local school district's transportation manager to establish school bus stop areas. The areas for school bus stops shall be shown on the final site plan. M, the applicant shall comply with all of the requirements of the Sussex County Affordably Priced Rental Unit Program, but participation in this program shall not exceed 30% of the total residential units available. N, the location of the cemetery and Native American burial grounds shall be determined in cooperation with Delaware SHPO, and it shall be delineated on the final site plan. There shall be a 40-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of the cemetery. O, the recreation area shall be relocated to a more centralized area of the project. P, vinyl fencing shall be installed between the project and the adjacent Eagle Point development. The location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. Q, the final site plan for the development shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Wheatley stated we need to get the brownfield cleaned up and affordable rental units created, and suggested that no more than 160 units be created. Mr. Smith stated that based on his approximate calculations, if you delete the access area from the calculation, the number of units would be reduced and would probably equal close to 160 units. Mr. Ross suggested increasing the setback from Eagle Point to 50 feet with landscaping. Mr. Johnson disagreed with the suggested 160 units and asked for a vote. Mr. Johnson's motion did not receive a second. The motion died for the lack of a second. Therefore, Mr. Ross stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1845 for Rick Banning for multifamily rental apartments based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. I think I have to read the same thing over again, but it's a different number of units. One, the property is in an area where commercial uses and other residential developments has occurred, including townhouse, multifamily, and single-family developments. The project is consistent with those developments and will provide a transition between the C1 and commercial uses along Route 1 and the Plantation Road area. Two, the project will be served or benefited by amenities that are on site. These amenities include a swimming pool, clubhouse, and tot lot. Three, the project is in a development district according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Four, the applicant has applied for and received permission to participate in the Sussex County Affordably Priced Rental Unit Program. Five, the project site has been previously used as a bar pit for sand and gravel. It was known as the Jackson Pit. The pit was later used as an unpermitted landfill for domestic trash. The removal and disposal of solid waste from the Jackson Pit site has received brownfield certification and has been qualified by DENREC for grant funding. Cleaning up the Jackson Pit will benefit the environment and provide for the health and safety of the inhabitants of the project and the surrounding area. Six, with the stipulations placed upon this approval, there will be no adverse impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. Seven, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 160 units. B, the removal, disposal, and monitoring of waste from the Jackson Pit located on the project site shall be in compliance with all DENREC requirements. C, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's requirements. D, the swimming pool shall be constructed and open to use by the residents within 1 year of the issuance of the first building permit for the project. E, the project shall be served by Central Sewer as part of the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. F, the project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Excuse me. G, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. H, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Sidewalks shall be installed along both sides of all streets. I, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape plan and an architectural rendition. J, construction site work grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscape materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. K, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. L, the applicant shall cooperate with local school districts, transportation manager, and DART to establish school bus stop areas and DART stop areas. The areas for school bus stops and or DART stops shall be shown on the final site plan. M, the applicant shall comply with all the requirements of Sussex County Affordably Priced Housing Rental Unit Program, but participation in this program shall not exceed 30% of the total residential units available and a minimum of 70% market price units. And the location of the cemetery shall be determined in cooperation with SHPO, and it shall be delineated on the final site plan. There shall be a 40-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of the cemetery. Oh, the recreation area shall either be relocated to the center of the project, or there shall be speed bumps or some similar traffic calming devices and signs located in the vicinity of it. P, 6-foot high fencing shall be installed between this project and the adjacent Eagle Point development, and maintenance of it shall be included in the maintenance agreement. The location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. Q, there shall be a 50-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of Eagle Point Development. And R, the final site plan for the development shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried with four votes to forward this application to Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-1, with Mr. Johnson opposed to the motion.
Mr. Lyke, help me understand some things here. At 160 units, it's like 9 per acre, isn't it?
Approximately, yes.
Yeah. And they didn't say that that was compatible with other developments around the area, did they? Or did they?
Sure.
Yes, they did.
They did, yeah.
In their findings.
It's not. Also, it's not on Route 1, is it?
Ma'am.
I live there. This is my neighborhood. And they're citing Route 1, and there's no commercial use around it either.
Now, they said it was a transition between the C1 and commercial use of the Long Route 1 and Plantation Road. That's what they were
saying.
Well,
heck, so is the farm on Plantations Road. You know, that's a transition, too.
I don't disagree with you, but
yeah,
you're right.
I mean, I don't get I don't understand, so I was just trying to get you to help me understand that. now, if we're saying these amenities if we were to take this, these conditions, for instance, those amenities will be provided, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That were specified.
If it's approved,
what if they don't,
amenities would be required.
We've had a little trouble in the past with that kind of thing. What if they're not provided?
They're to be provided at a certain point, and then, then we would have to cease allowing any permits until they were provided.
But we would have a bond or something
to
guarantee.
We would have to have a bond for amenities.
Guarantee that could be, that would be.
We have provisions typically on subdivision, but we also can place them on other projects where you have bonding specifically for streets. We have bonding requirements in cooperation with a conservation district that the county holds, and we can require bonding for amenities.
Okay. Now, we looked at a transportation study. They originally asked for 216 units, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
And that study says that there would be 1,700 trips per day. Was there any information in the commission's report about how many trips per day would be generated by 160 units?
No, ma'am. There was not.
So we don't know. Okay, so, all right. And I understood in the commissioner's comments that they don't want the affordable units to exceed 30% of the overall number. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is that by law?
That's basically what was submitted, pretty
what
much.
What was submitted?
Right.
I thought that they asked for more than was submitted.
Now, the percentage should come out the same as if it were the 216 units.
Oh, the percentage would be the minimum?
He broke the percentage down.
Is that the minimum?
I don't know what the minimum would be, but I'm just saying that's the way they came up with that number. They broke it down from what mm-hmm. we originally submitted with 216.
Okay, but under our moderately priced rental housing ordinance, are we asking for a minimum of 30%?
I can't answer that. It's not my ordinance.
Not your ordinance?
Handled through the community development office.
Okay, I see.
And I don't have a copy with me, or I'd look it up for you.
Okay. All right, but we could ask for more, couldn't we?
I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm. We would get more for our money, I think, wouldn't we?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I guess I'm kind of ashamed that this is our first moderately priced rental apartments or rental units project. We're kind of telling people that if you don't have money, if you're a nurse or a teacher, we want you to live on, you know, on top of a cleaned up dump, and I'm ashamed of it.
The difficulty with the affordably priced rental program has been that we had projects that were approved in the program. Those projects have not taken place typically because of the economics of the mm-hmm. last few years.
Well, and here
there
we're
are some projects that probably could get the approval. They haven't come to final approval.
But we do have some in the works.
There are still some in the works. If they happen, they still haven't got final approval as far as coming back through there. They got preliminary approval, they got the zoning, they got the use.
Good.
But we haven't.
But this would be our first one.
Those projects will happen or not because of economics.
But in this case, the state, if the state has the money, they're going to pay for the cleanup. Is that correct?
The state is participating.
As I read in your report,
they're participating. They have grants funding available.
They do have it.
But it's a matter of if they can supply the funds to complete it or not.
Right, because I heard in your report no guarantee of the funding, that the funding is available. So we don't know.
There's been certain monies already provided through the state for cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, they got to be completed and make it, it's going to cost a lot more than what it's been spent so far.
Okay, but the state is bearing that cost. Okay,
right.
I understand. And it was recently, not recently, but in the past, it was approved for a Rubino development for 80 units, and it was just recently taken off the website. It was a townhouse community, is that right?
It was multifamily.
Multifamily, units, right? Yeah. I'm wondering if we could amend the conditions, if we're of a mind to pass this. Could we amend these conditions to make it 80 units?
We can make a motion to do such, right.
Let's make a motion.
Let's have a little conversation and go back.
I need to, I need to understand all this. This is a fairly complicated application.
I got a question. Number on page 12 of what you've given us here in our packet, that final group of numbered conditions. Number 7A, we got a reference there of the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 160 units.
Right.
The application up on the top of that, it says for Rick Banning for multifamily rental apartments. Should 7A not say residential units? Because what would prevent, and somebody tell me if I'm wrong here, that the individual takes this approval and puts in 160 townhouses and decides not to rent them? Is there anything to prevent that?
It would be basically because of the affordable housing program.
He wouldn't get in that program.
If he dropped out of the program,
right,
they would be apartment-type units, and they could be condos.
Exactly. Okay. So, in other
words, the condominium is only a method of sale. It's not even in our code.
Right. We can't hold them to this rental program.
Not if they drop drop out of program.
So number 7A could be then like somebody, this project could be flipped to somebody else. They could have some shrewd lawyer. I know there are a few around, and not many, but a few. And we could end up with 160 units of residential housing. Of townhouses or apartments or something that were for sale, right?
The only way you control the rental.
So we're not controlling through this
program is to make it a stipulation that you have to have that number.
Okay, but this condition. Anyway, what I would say suggest is that maximum number of resident where it says residential units should be referenced to rental apartment units or something of that nature, because this is this opens up, I think, is an opening. So that would be one concern I'd have. That we'd end up with something else, that's the only question at this point.
That would correct it that they're only to be rented, not sold.
Right, but we're
in a four-way
out. The appeal from the applicant, if I'm not mistaken, was that this is going to be rental
correct.
Apartments.
Exactly right.
And the high number, I think, is planning and zoning saying. Or assuming that these would be, again, small apartment-type units, not large townhouses. But from the way I read this, we could have a three-story, 2,000-square-foot, 160 townhouses jammed in there.
Yeah, because a multifamily is, a townhouse is only a method of sale.
Exactly. I know that. I'm just trying to clarify it for my fellow councilmen may not be as astute as you and I.
It can be a townhouse design condominium.
Right.
It could be a townhouse rental. I mean, it's a name.
Right.
It's different criteria for townhouses than multifamily. They've applied for multifamily. Townhouses, per se, fee simple, are not permitted in MR district unless you have an RPC.
Right.
So, that protected a little bit as far as town.
Mr. Lank, does not the conditions on M on page 13 indicate that the applicant shall comply with all the requirements of Sussex County affordability price?
Only if he makes that application. What if he doesn't make the application?
But part of the conditions is that he shall comply with all the requirements of the program.
So if he doesn't, he loses his seat.
Okay, you're reading this, that this project, if it doesn't go into the rental housing program, then is void. You're reading it that way?
It states that it shall comply with all the requirements of Sussex County affordable priced rental unit program as the conditions are written.
The way I read.
Well, I'm not worried about the way you read. I'm worried about the way Mr. Moore are.
All the conditions that are recommended by the commission and the ones adopted by council are official condition of approval. They are the condition of approval.
Okay, I just didn't know that we could force them into the rental program. I just thought that was they were suggesting that they would.
They applied, that's the way they proffered in their application. That's what they were going to
okay.
go to.
And it's based on that that they were given the additional density. Right.
Okay. I'm still concerned about the word residential units versus apartment units. If we're talking about apartment project, it ought to be corrected there. Okay.
You could, if you so chose, you could to approve, then you could make that A, the maximum number of residential rental units.
Can't we
shall not exceed whatever number you consider.
Okay. But whatever. I'm just worried about the
way
it is.
Protective use.
And in the I think I already had that information. Okay. That's
anything else?
Right now.
Okay. Mr. Wilson, do you have anything?
Nothing.
Mr. Vincent?
I just say God bless them. If they can make any money on this project, we'll always clean up some things they got to do. In fact, I think the community will be far better off with this project and then not without it because of the cleanup. I mean, they're talking about, Jones talking about the waste hazards and all those other things that are in that dump. It's got to be removed and meet all the qualifications and standards of natural resources. That will be gone, and then we don't have to worry about the water that's coming there because it's going to be publicly water coming from another area. So they won't be drinking bad water from that area. They don't have to worry about the sewer because it's going to be going out of the area. So there's really no argument there to say it's going to be worse. It's got to be a better project. It's got to be better cleaned up and on the way. And it helps public housing. So,
Mr. Project. Very good. Mr. Vincent?
Lawrence, I know this is not anything to do with site plan approval, but have we seen anything of proposed buildings? I mean, how many units are these things? Is there 10 buildings, 20 buildings, 2 buildings?
I'd have to go back to the site plan, pull it for you. I can do that.
Can you do that? I'm interested to see how many units are in a building, I guess, is my question.
The difference would be what I'm going to show you is two-story condo-type buildings, 4 units each, and it appears that all the buildings are the same.
Does it add up to 160?
820 is 160.
That was in the original one. The one that was approved. Let me back up here. That was for the 80.
How many?
That was for the 80.
It was 4 on 20 buildings for 4 each.
How about this one now? Any difference submitted to us?
Well, another site. That site plan is all the same. My luck, it'll be on multiple pages. 24 units in 9 buildings.
Mm-hmm. Each building has 24 units?
Yes. Apartment type buildings.
So there's 9 buildings.
The one was applied by Rabina, it was used for the survey. It's 9 buildings, 24 units.
That's where 216 came from.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But we don't have a site plan for
eight. Okay.
It doesn't show the buildings on the site?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, right.
There's 4 rows of 3.
Okay.
But those buildings are going to be right over that pit area. They would have to be, wouldn't they, Mr. Light?
That's correct.
And so they would have to bring in fill, and they would be built on top of that.
It would be. A portion of it, anyway.
Excuse me, Mr. Vincent.
They're
you probably
going to change
weren't.
It to 9.
Were you finished?
Eight, right?
I'm just trying to figure out these numbers.
All
go ahead. Fine. Go ahead.
If you granted approval for a lesser number, they have to submit a site plan totally different from what we've seen, so we wouldn't know how to describe it.
They would have to anyway if we granted 160.
Right. No matter it was 160, 80, or 216, the design's got to be reviewed by the commission. The buildings can't exceed 165 feet in length in any direction. And they can't exceed a 42-foot height limit, so.
And
be a large square building.
Do you have
building.
Other comments?
Oh, yeah, I do need some help here understanding some of this. At 80 units, would it still comply with the moderately priced rental unit program?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
In other words, the state would still clean up the site?
The site's got to be cleaned up for them to be allowed to be built on it.
Right, so even at 80 units, they would still clean up the site?
They would, if they got the approval, they would have to clean up the site.
If we approved it at 80?
No matter what they do, they have to clean up
whatever
the site.
Whatever number units of site still is a part of the approval. Has to be cleaned up.
And Mr. Cole's question about being able to pull out of the program, now is that settled that they can't, if we approve, they can't do that?
For this project to go on,
yes,
with the condition that they have to go through the affordably priced rental unit,
yes,
program, that program stays with the project. If they pull out of that project or that program, then the project's condition's not being met, so you would end up voiding the project.
So that's forever.
Right.
Because if they wanted
unless
to
they want to come back,
they want to convert
again.
They'd have to come back and try and get rezoning for that number of buildings or more,
right,
depending on.
That's right.
Okay. All right, fine. And what is the maximum number of units that would be, something that you don't have right in front of you, but was there, there's a minimum and maximum number of units or apartments that would be rented under the moderately priced program. Do you know what that would be under 80, under 80 units?
I can't say.
20.
So, but there was a 30% minimum, I believe.
There was.
So, okay, so then under 80 units, we would still be, all right, I understand. Okay, 3/8, all right, 16, all right. Very good. I think, so then we could ask for the maximum number, but we don't know what that percentage
is. I don't know what that is.
Is.
Without
okay.
The ordinance in front of me. Right.
The minimum, the ordinance is here, Mr. Lacates is here, but the minimum is 26.
It's 26?
For that size.
For how many overall units?
100
Well, how about 16. For 80?
For 80, it would still be 26.
So it's 26 either way.
Yeah.
I see. 26.
It's a 20% bonus density, mm-hmm, for any project over 35 units, counting the market rate, and it's a straight line. That was, as we said, July 21st when we came before council.
But the number of rental units of through the moderately priced rental program
could be 26, a minimum of 26 in case we had small projects that would it be worth it. The rationale was that council at that time did not want everybody come and get expedited review for the sake of 15 units.
Right.
Okay.
So at 80 and 26, we would have actually a high number of moderately priced units. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think Chip emailed me. The other question, I think zoning put in large project. The 70% was so that it wouldn't be flipped to a all low or moderate income units. It had nothing to do with our project.
70% max?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that they could market rate. So 30% max. So they my rationale, and Everett, I don't know if you were here for this one, and going over the tapes back then, it was try to prevent of it being flipped later and use it as an all affordable housing project. I guess there were some concerns at the meeting that may be a problem in the future.
Oh, that could happen?
Well, it can't now because zoning brought it to their attention.
Okay, good for zoning. Okay. Good for zoning. Okay, good. Wonderful. Thank you.
Any other comments? It would appear that there is an interest in addressing the number of units. Does council have any thoughts specifically on the number of units before we look at the application as a whole?
Well, this is just so such a difficult piece of property with the testimony we heard about the dump catching on fire and you know, with the extreme amount of methane coming out of it and what all it was testified to that it's been put in there. Mm. It's not a very pleasant situation here. And I would ask that council would please consider limiting this to 80 units. I believe we should be better, we should be more conservative, I think, in this one, because there are others that are not built on top of a dumps and other moderately priced rental unit projects that are in the wings. They're coming to us. This is the very first one, and I would sincerely ask council to consider limiting this to 80 units.
Okay, I'll accept that as a motion.
Yes.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to limit this to 80 units, and that is the only thing that we're considering. This is not a vote on the application. If this motion fails, we will revisit it. I'll open the floor to discussion, Mr. Wilson.
To start with, there's no way this guy could ever build his project on 80 units. I mean, I've got enough business sets to know that he cannot build this on 80 units. And George knows that, and I hope Joan knows that. So saying 80 units is just like saying we're turning this project down. That's all it is, excuse to turn it down. There's no way he can build it. To start with, Joan, you keep saying he's building on a dump. What you're saying, you don't have much reliance or dependence upon the natural resource people.
Don't give his own reasons.
Because this has to go to natural resources and have this place cleaned up.
Pisses me off.
They will check with methanol or whatever's in this dump or whatever you're calling it will be cleaned up. I give natural resources the credit of knowing what's right and wrong. I believe they will not allow them to build on there until it's completely checked out. So that is a poor excuse, to my opinion, to hold this project up.
Any other discussion, Mr. Vincent?
Discussion on this?
Yes.
I'm not criticizing DENREC, and you know, I that's not my expertise, and I would think that it would be a good thing if they could preserve that land. I'm just saying that it is not an ideal site for this kind of thing, and I think it reflects on our reputation as a council to allow that many units on this site. And I you know, I sincerely ask that we look at 80. 80 units is not turning it down, and our business is not his business. We are not in business to count dollars and cents for a developer. You know, that's not our job. Our job is to protect the people.
Any other discussions before the vote? All right. Ms. Deaver.
Yes.
Motion on the floor is to limit this to 80 units. Ms. Deaver votes yes. Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
And I vote no. Motion is denied. I'll open the floor up for other suggested densities. If no change in the density per the recommendation is made by an affirmative vote, we'll ultimately take a vote on the application at the 216 units.
Well, what about the 96 units then?
Yep. Make a motion.
Well, I make a motion that we limit it to 96 units, which was mentioned by Commissioner Johnson, whom I respect very much.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to limit this application to 96 units. Any discussion? This is your time to discuss. If not, we'll take the vote.
Well, you know, I think that according to the report that we read and the public record, he put a great deal of thought into this, and certainly has a great deal of expertise in zoning matters. And you know, I put faith in Mr. Johnson, and I believe this is his area.
Are you trying to say the other four didn't put any thought into it?
Please limit your comments to this issue at hand and the matters of the record. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Deaver believes 96 is appropriate for those reasons. Mr. Wilson, do you have comment before we take the vote?
Well, what I heard Mr. Deaver here saying.
Mr. Wilson, I would probably ask that it's directed toward the motion as opposed to another council member.
I'm just no comment.
Okay. Anyone else? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
No.
I vote no. Motion denied. We currently have 216 in the recommendation from planning and zoning. Mr. Vincent, do you have a motion?
160.
No, it's 160.
Excuse me, 160.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the number, the 160, because if I subtract out one building, it drops from 216 to 192. The next building drops it to 168.
It would be a redesign. The whole thing would be redesigned no matter how you do the units. So it'll, could be 10 units and 16 buildings, or it could be 16 units and 10 buildings. So it could change.
Or it could be the same number. I mean, it could be still
yeah, mixed number
the same number, 24 number to a building, yeah, and how many buildings there are. Okay. I really want to see this place cleaned up.
It's going to be cleaned up.
Mr. Vinson has the floor.
I'll make a motion that the maximum number of residential rental units not exceed 168, which means the 24 numbers.
Mr. Moore, he did say rental units. Is that the appropriate language for this?
The original motion, or the recommendations from planning and zoning, indicated the maximum number of residential units, did not specify rental. Mr. Cole did point that out in his discussions. And Mr. Lank, this was proposed as a rental
yes,
project.
It was.
It's a rental project, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. The motion on the floor is for 168 units.
Well, he said rental units. Now, are we saying rental units?
Residential rental units.
And make sure that word. Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve this at 168 units. Any discussion? We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
No, it's not. It's not compatible with what's surrounding the area, and no, it's no.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Well, a previous council had approved a project here at 80 townhouses, which is 4 units to the acre, which is an MR district, and it gave and the conditional use process gives you flexibility, and so we went from single family to townhouses. And now to believe that 80 units versus 168, now we've even gotten higher, is not a substantial difference, is, I think, you know, being in denial. And it is, there is nothing, I mean, I underline nothing similar to this project on Plantation Road or anywhere in the area that you could ever come to the conclusion that it's consistent. So you're, I think, not being honest with this whole process and the use of the MR zone. It is a travesty to take an MR zone and do this. And people buy homes in MR and AR zones because they expect residential housing, primarily single-family housing, and this would be a major, major deviation from what our code is trying to do, trying to accomplish. So my vote would be no, I guess.
Mr. Cole votes no. Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
My vote is yes as well. This density would appear to offer an opportunity to get this dangerous site cleaned up. Motion carried. Are there other issues within the recommendations council would like to address before we have Mr. Moore read the title to take a vote on the application? If not, Mr. Moore, would you read the title and make note of the change?
Yes. Mr. President, it's an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR median density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 18.33 acres more or less, with the following conditions. The maximum number of residential rental units shall not exceed 168 units. B, the removal, disposal, and monitoring of waste from the Jackson Pit located on the project site shall be in compliance with all DENREC requirements. C, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT requirements. D, the swimming pool shall be constructed and open to use by the residents within 1 year of issuance of the first building permit for the project. E, the project shall be served by central sewer as part of a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. F, the project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. G, stormwater management, erosion, and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with the applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. H, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Sidewalks shall be installed along both sides of all streets. I, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing proposed tree and shrub landscape plan and an architectural rendition. J, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. K, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. L, the applicant shall cooperate with the local school district's transportation manager and DART to establish school bus stop areas and DART stop areas. The areas for school bus stops and or DART stops shall be shown on the final site plan. M, the applicant shall comply with all of the requirements of the Sussex County Affordably Priced Rental Unit Program, but participation in this program shall not exceed 30% of the total residential units available and a minimum of 70% market priced units. The location of the cemetery shall be determined in cooperation with the SHPO, and it shall be delineated on the final site plan. There shall be a 40-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of the cemetery. O, the recreation area shall either be relocated to the center of the project, or there shall be speed bumps or some similar traffic calming devices and signs located in the vicinity of it. P, 6-foot high fencing shall be installed between this project and the adjacent Eagle Point development, and maintenance of it shall be included in the maintenance agreement. The location type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. Q, there shall be a 50-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of Eagle Point development. R, the final site plan for the development shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Those are the conditions, Mr. President.
I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second, please. Motion and second to approve conditional use 1845 with the amended conditions as read by Mr. Moore. Any discussion? Take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
No. I think we're telling people that if we approve this, that it's fire beware, because you don't know what's going to be built next to you, and you have very little representation on this county council. If this county council passes this, 9 per acre is totally out of line with this area, and there is no plan to widen Plantation Road to 4 lanes or even 3 lanes, and that's not going to happen according to what we have had presented in testimony. That is not even going to happen for years. The very first intersection that is to be dealt with is the one at Cedar Grove and Plantations Road, and we have testimony that will not even be looked at until 2014. So we have many, many reasons not to approve this kind of density in this area on this kind of land. And even at a lower density, the state would still spend the money and clean up the area. So I think we're making a terrible mistake here and setting one terrible, terrible example.
Mr. Wilson.
My vote is yes on the recommendation of planning and zoning. Also, I hear all this complaining about out of work, out of jobs. I feel like that some of our responsibility is to at least pass some of these things that come before us, and also public and furnish public housing. They need them, or they wouldn't be building.
Mr. Cole.
Well, my vote will be no, but then for the following reasons. This has been kind of described as an infill project, and infill projects typically mirror the surrounding development in the area, and this is obviously not consistent as an infill. There is nothing to compare. It's a MRAR districts that abut this site, and the MR district is increasing the density doubling the density of the current district that it's in. And so I think this is probably one of the worst CUs I've ever, you know, I've seen in 20 years or more of in an MR district, just of what we, you know, the process is supposed to do, what the conditional use is supposed to do. So going from 80 to 168 now is excessive. Under the guise of cleaning up a site, that's what all I'm hearing is we're going to clean this site up, we're going to clean this site up. This site would be cleaned up no matter what, mm-hmm. and in many jurisdictions you wouldn't even be permitted to build on a site such as this. Because not every site, not every piece of ground in a county, in a land, in an area, in a neighborhood, anywhere, not every piece of ground is suitable for development. So there is a big question out there, should be, is this really suitable? Since we don't have any Department of Natural Resource type of departments at the county level, we rely on the state of Delaware, and they claim that they can monitor a cleanup. So to approve 168 units, thinking that this will get it cleaned up, the last applicant at 80 townhouses was going to clean up the site. So it is a smokescreen, I believe. So cleanup is also only a part of this whole application. You've got to take into consideration still the traffic capacity, the school capacity, the location, as I said, is not appropriate. It's in the environmentally sensitive district, which really doesn't encourage high density type of stuff. It's greater density is not being environmentally sensitive. So with that in mind, I'm concerned that what we're doing here is not appropriate, and therefore my vote would be no. I believe it's excessive development, and it's ill-conceived and not appropriate.
Mr. Vincent.
I understand some of the comments from council and take those to heart. It does concern me that this project, this land needs to be cleaned up. And I hear that the state's going to do it, but I don't think anybody's got a guarantee of that with their finances as they are. And if they were going to do it, it's been this way for a long time. Why haven't they already done it? I guess is my question. And I feel sure somewhere along the line they get it cleaned up. There's going to have to be money from a developer or somebody to help fund this thing. It's not going to be all state funded. They are going to, two things on here I guess concern me, the pit itself and get this thing cleaned up, which they've got to do if they build something on it. The fact that we're going to protect if there are cemeteries and grave sites on there, they've got to protect those things. That's a good thing. And the planning and zoning recommended to do this, and it was a 4-1 vote. And I think we have good people on there that put a lot of time and thought in this. My vote's going to be yes.
My vote is yes as well. This does offer an opportunity to clean up a hazardous site. It does provide a financial incentive for the private sector to contribute to that effort rather than burdening the taxpayer. I think the reduction from the original 216 units to 168 units is appropriate. Motion carried.
We have one more item. It's conditional use number.